I don't know if it's confirmation, but the message tonight is on peace. We do have a lot of amazing songs, and I guess maybe since I'm getting a little older, I'm starting to think of things more and ponder things a bit more. And a couple weeks ago, the Lord had put the song, Be at Peace. Oh, my soul, be at peace. And times of refreshing, this song, My Peace I Give. We need peace, amen? It's a very real thing. And we're very fortunate in John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. I sang it, but the verse says, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now, how powerful are those words? If we actually did just ponder them, and if we believe in the power that God holds, if we actually just literally did stop and did just think, we were able to clear all the other distractions and really, through the Holy Spirit, think of that. That we can have peace. That we don't have to. Isn't it an amazing gift? I know we know it, but again, if we really stop, and not that you don't, I'm just a slow learner sometimes, but if we stop and think of how powerful peace is, truly, regardless of what's happening, and we will go into that, but regardless of what's happening, we can be at peace. And I don't say that lightly. But we can be at peace. Peace is an amazing gift. And for the most part, that's what the entire world is seeking. It really is one of the most precious things in human history, is peace. Time may be the first thing. But if we have a lot of time, I'd like to be in peace in that a lot of time. Amen. So if we have the time, we're seeking peace. That's why we go to war. We go to war, it's an oxymoron for peace. So peace is not cheap by any means. It is beyond value. And that's why there are some that have other issues that are not seeking, but so many are seeking peace. And Jesus said to us, don't be troubled. How many times are we troubled? How many times do we forget who God is and that He can give us peace? He doesn't want us to be afraid. And we serve the only one who can give peace. Peace is not something we can go get off a shelf in a bottle or anywhere. And Isaiah 9, verse 6. I won't sing Handel's Messiah tonight. I thought about it, but I won't suffer you with that. But it says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Let's get political. Do we really need to worry about politics? Do we? How often do we? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Now, I take that back. Maybe you don't, and you've come there. That's where we need to be, though. We can talk about it, but really, isn't it a waste of time? Really? Be knowledgeable, understand, be able to have a conversation, but it really is a waste of time. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. We can take it off, and that's what we are doing. We've taken government off his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He rules peace. He is the ruler of peace. He is the holder of peace, and he's the one who gives us peace. We have the ability to go to Him and get that peace. He told us. He left it here for us. He left that peace for us to be able to put on. And the huge things where that person went to get beheaded and he had 100% peace. To lose his head and he lost it. To the struggles I go through with my kids. There's peace for every facet of life. that we go through. And there's so much going on. Sarah started touching on it in her message, that we all are faced with these things. We live here. And we are finite. We have a beginning. We have an end. We have feelings. We have fears that the Lord wants to take. But we have real concerns. I tell my clients, I don't want you to be in fear. You can be concerned, but I don't want you to be in fear. We'll always have concerns around us, things that keeps us on our toes. But God doesn't want us in fear, because then we're not trusting Him. Then we're not going to have peace, and then we're going to try to do things in our own will. And we see that in Scripture of many godly people who tried to do things in their own will because, really, if we want to boil, they were afraid that something wasn't going to happen, that God wasn't going to do it. So they tried to do it. And we see going on around us. And some of these things may not bother you. Some of these things, I think we all have victory in different areas or just don't care. But we see a world full of terrorism. We see wars. We see here rumors of wars. Political unrest, global unrest, trade wars, market volatility. And that's really stuff that's out there. That's what we hear, and not that it's really out of our control. Unless you're a politician, unless you are in some of those facets, it's really not in our realm of control to be able to do anything. I'm not going to say why I worry, because I do have concerns about them, but I'm learning. Again, I'm a slow learner. But bringing it a little closer to home, family issues, health issues, financial issues, job issues, things that are going around that we can control, or at least have our hand in and have an ability to do something on, are things that can bring, or I should say take, peace. Or we're not finding peace in those things. Bringing it even closer to home. Emotional issues, mental issues, sins, iniquities, difficult decisions. Things that are individually within each of us that we have concerns or that we battle that no one else sees. I'm not in your head. I have no idea what your concern is right now. I might talk to you and I know might know what your political concern is. Or I might talk to you and know what your health issue is. But we don't know what's going on inside of us. And all of us have different things and different places we're at. That God wants peace to rule and reign in us. He's given it for us. He does not want us to be without peace. He doesn't want to, he did want us to be in a utopia. We ruined it. But He wants us inside of us to be able to have that utopia, that paradise where we can experience Him no matter where we're at. That we're not based on what I'm going through, but who I'm going through it with. God wants us to have peace. And this is, as I started saying and going through, I'm like, well, this can be an exhaustive list. So don't think about it. Or not so much about it. Because there is so much going on around us. Correct? I think if we each talked to each other and shared, there'd be different concerns that are each in each of our lives. Matthew 14, 29. Peter had this going on in his life, when he saw Jesus walk on the water. And how critical we can be of Peter, right? Like, look at what Peter did. He sank when he walked on water. Boy, if I would have walked on water, if I would have got out of the boat. The Bible was given to us as a type. I don't know how many of us will walk on water, but what I do know is how many of us have given our lives to the Lord. Well, I don't know, but I'm assuming all of us have, except maybe barring Seth. We all know the Lord, and we've all experienced storms, and we've all read the Bible and seen where Jesus has called us to come unto Him, and we're walking to Him. We've stepped out of the boat, proverbially, and now are walking in faith, but how often do we start sinking? We can shame Peter all we want for losing faith. We do the same thing on maybe a daily basis. That we start seeing the wind and the waves and the health issues and the my kids and the my job and the should I be here and the should I do that and what's going to happen in this. And I'm not judging you because I do the same thing. But when are we going to stop? And when I'm doing it right, I'm not going to come and judge you, but I'm going to try to help you, and I hope you do the same for me. But we've got to start trusting God. Because we're going to look at this later. How is anyone else going to want to follow us? When you have a political conversation with your coworker or someone out to eat or someone you know, and you're voicing all this stuff, not that you have to preach to them, but shouldn't we be a role model of peace? Shouldn't we be one that, yes, we can express and talk, but not in a fearful sense, not in a derogatory or a disrespectful or an ungodly way? That people see, boy, that was different. They might not say that, but, that was maybe nice or refreshing or, wow, I never thought of that. Or to do that. Peter lost his sight of God and started sinking. He lost his peace because he didn't see the wind. I always say this wrong. He saw the waves and felt the wind and probably felt the waves too. And we do as well. But we want to learn in the areas we are failing. Maybe we're obviously not failing in every area, but that our eyes are staying on the Lord. We don't want to become overwhelmed with what's going on around us. Because if we're where we're to be, as difficult as it may feel, we're in the right spot. If we're in the right spot, it's not that it's to be easy, it's just it's doable. And we get stronger, and we're able to do those things that God wants us to do. John Gill, I was looking at his commentary in regards to the first verse we read in John, and it says, "The peace Christ gave is true, solid, and substantial. The peace the world, the men, and things of it give is a false one. It cries, peace, peace, then sudden destruction is at hand. The peace the world, the peace of the world, is at best an external one." That's the one you can go get in a bottle. I'm not against oils. Some people can't go out of their house without their thing, their diffuser or whatever it is. If it helps you medically, take it. Fine. I don't care. But if it's your peace, if it's what keeps you from being anxious and you can't live without it, something's wrong. God said, "I am your Prince of Peace." Not XYZ medical or whatever our crutch is. God wants to be our peace. God wants us to be the one that we're going to and that we're building up strength. Eric and I go to the gym to find strength. And the next time we go, we hope we're stronger. When I slack, I get weaker. If we're slacking in our relationship with God, we're going to get weaker. And the winds are waves are going to knock us down more and more because we don't have strength to stand. And there's a lot of wind and a lot of waves in today's world. And we need to be stronger. We need to be strong. That old-time religion isn't good enough for us. You can sing the song, but just don't mean it. But the world's peace is external. It's something that we can touch and hold on to. It doesn't have something to keep us. Christ's peace is the giver. It's internal. It's not, and this is what I interjected, it's not based on something that we hold. It's based on something that was within our spirit and that is really holding on to the Lord. The peace that the world affords is very transient, unstable, short-lived, but the peace of Christ is lasting and durable. The peace of the world is not supportive under the troubles of it, but the peace which Christ gives carefully carries his people. And I can go on. God's peace is what we want. We know that. But it's wearing those grooves, those new grooves, to keep us on where he's calling us to go and to be in him. The Lord has peace in store for the righteous. In Isaiah 48:22, it says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." There is no peace for the Lord, says the wicked. Isaiah 48:22. And in John 16:33 says, "I have said these things to you, that you may have peace. In the world, you may have tribulation. You will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen? So again, why do we then not have peace? At some point, we have to change. I'm saying this to me. This message is to me. I've been saying this. I grew up from day one in the church. And there's really, joking aside, some things I've just been a slow learner on. I'm very glad where I've come to now. But we have to start. I watch certain musicians. I was watching a musician sing, and they sang well, but they believed it. It wasn't even a Christian singer, but they believed what they were singing, and that's part of what made them so good. They believed it. They sang it with passion. Are we living our Christian walk with passion? Or is it just, I'm just singing. I sang all the words and I hit all the notes. Perfect. But are we singing it with a passion? Is there a zeal? Is there something welling up within us that is making us walk that extra mile? To hold on to that piece, to stand, even if we're not moving forward, we're standing. After we've done all to stand, like Ephesians says, we are standing. And until I'm told to take the next step, I'm not moving. But we're fighting, and there's something that's welling up within us that we're not going to give up. Peter told us, think it not strange when these things come our way. And as Sarah was saying, and we all know that, they're here. We go through them every day. But as I said earlier, I believe peace can be attractive. Who here likes to be around an unrestful person? Isn't it fun? Have you ever been around someone like that? Really, do you want to be around that? Are we ever that person? Someone's like, oh great, there he comes. Wonderful. It's funny how perfect we think we are at times, isn't it? I'm going to get into that later about my kids, but I find it humorous that we think so highly. I think so highly of myself, I'll make it just to me. Things are going to happen, but we want to learn to call on God and let His peace start to fill us. And when we have that peace, it is attractive. And I think, as I said, we're all fighting for peace, but peace is costly. Peace costs something. It costs our control. Oftentimes, if we don't have peace, it's because we're trying to control the situation. It's not working, and we're trying to figure out a way to do it. When we want the peace of God, we have to relinquish control. We have to give it away. That's hard. I know people who go through marital problems. Oh, sure, I'll just give it to the Lord. Oh, it's easy. Just give it away. Just get over it, man. Just do it. Oh, sure, it's easy to say. There are some very costly things. But God wants us to learn how to pay that price. If we want peace, we have to pay that price. We have to be willing to relinquish that control in our life to Him and accept that peace. And if we do, it's an amazing thing. Who here has experienced the peace of God? Truly experienced His peace. Did you love it? So why do not we continue every time it comes to take hold of it? Because we want to hold on to that, if we're truthful. But it's remembering that those little things, boy, that was good. Boy, how much pressure I have less on my shoulders. Let's continue that and be that example so that as people see that, and then when they say, well, how can you be that way in this situation or with what I'm... It's the Lord. I'd be the same way. I am the same way without Him. I don't carry it. It's real. I get it. But it's His. And we want to be that one that is attractive, is demonstrating, not because we're singing the right notes and saying the right words, but because we love Him. Because we really like that peace. And we just want it. We just want it and people see it. It's not wanting to be it, it's being it. And people are just going to notice that. But there was three areas that I just briefly thought as I was studying the peace with God, peace with man, and peace within ourselves. First is peace with God. In Isaiah 26:3, He will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him because we trust in Him, or because He trusts in you. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So as we think, yes, in our heart, but we're thinking about it. As we're thinking about it, are we thinking peacefully? Doesn't matter really what we say. Are we thinking peacefully? Do we have peace working on the inside of us? Not just knowing what to say, but is it functional? Can we articulate what peace is and how it's working in our lives? Or are we anxious? I mean, I just heard a statistic. I forget how many millions or billions we spend for people that have anxiety disorders right now. It's an ungodly, truly, an ungodly number. There's so many people experiencing this in this world. How much more we need to be example. There's a lot of unrest, and if we're experiencing it in the church, imagine the world. Imagine what they're going through right now. Yes, by their own choice, but we need to show them and be able to tell them, and whatever God is using us in that capacity, we need to be that light. And just by being that light, and then going and declaring it. We don't want to be anxious. The example I have, one example was when I, and I think I've said it before, Pastor Bailey, I was in the lunch line, it was breakfast line, it was just him and I, it was when I was going to Africa, he said, do you think you're going to go? It was when I was offered it. And I said, at this point, yes, I have peace. And he goes, good. I didn't have a word from the Lord. I didn't have a scripture. I just had peace. That's all I had. I only had peace to go. So I went. Now, Christy was here at the time, and I met her before I left. So I didn't mind going to Africa, but Christy was here. I'll leave it at that. Year one, they asked me to go for 1 year. I went for 1 year. They asked, would you stay for another year? I wanted to come home. No peace. No peace. I had no peace to come home. I wanted to come home. I had no peace. Peace guided me. As I had peace, as I obeyed, I didn't always obey, but I obeyed then. I had peace. We have to have peace with God. Peace with God comes through obedience and following Him. Each one of us individually, not because Pastor Wallace went to the mission field, so I should be going there, or Pastor Stevens working on staff, or Guy, or so-and-so is doing. What has God called me to do? Am I in obedience? If I am, then I should have peace. And the enemy will sometimes even try to lie to us. No. If I'm doing the right thing, I should have peace. Is that correct? So then don't let the enemy come in and take your peace. If you're doing wrong, you shouldn't have peace. If we are doing right, then rebuke the enemy and walk in peace and tell him, no, in Jesus Christ I stand, not in my own. I have peace. Because He is the Prince of Peace, He rules me, and I have peace. So we want to have that peace with God in our lives. Secondly, peace with man. I like the way the ESV says this in Romans 12:18. Romans 12, if it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Not everyone's going to accept it. We have to hold our peace. But if we're in the right, it's not an arrogant place, but we're covered. They can throw all the darts they want at us and all the words. It's not at us, it's against the Lord. Especially if it's not us. If we are living peaceably, they can try to hit me all I want. It will not be personal to me if I'm covered in the Lord because it's hitting Him. And it is Him. Do you follow me on that? If there's any of us in that, we're going to feel it. We're going to get bitterness. That dart's going to hit us. It's going to penetrate our armor. And we can be damaged. Thank God we have our armor on, but we want to be aware. We need to live peaceably. Christy was just telling me she was taking something back to the store this weekend and she needed her receipt. Well, she had an invoice. She did not have the receipt, though. The invoice, if I was correct, had the transaction number from the store with everything on it, more than they needed. But she said, no, I'm sorry, we need the receipt. It's like, this has everything on it. She didn't say it. She's like, okay. And actually, a lady said, I don't know why this lady's being this way. Come back next week and we'll take care of it. If she won't, let's see what she does. So the lady came back. Christy said, well, if there's nothing you can do. And then the lady's attitude changed. She was completely kind, helped her, returned it, made an exception, even on something else that they found. Her kind words change something. Not her defense, not her justification. She was justified. She had everything. She had the transaction number that would have been on the receipt on, and she had everything she was given. But her living peaceably with all men to the best of her ability worked. It won't always be that outcome, and we have to be able to still smile and walk out of the store without what we went in for. But we have to live peaceably with men. And even if they don't like it, it will be a testimony to them and they can't argue with it because it was truth. And that's what we want to stand in. So we want to live peaceably with God, with men, and third, within ourselves. And this is the hardest one, I think, because we can't get away from our own head and our own thoughts and our own feelings at times. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Philippians 4:11, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content." And to me, content kind of was, I don't want to say synonymous, but if we're content, we're at peace, right? I think that's a fair statement. I used to say, and I think I've said this before, I loved heat. I loved warm. The Lord sent me to Africa. During that time, I said, I don't like heat. I like cold. He sent me to New Hampshire, and we almost got the biggest snowfall in their record. I finally said, whatever state I'm in, it worked well because of the U.S., I will be content. So he sent me here, so I tried to not complain about my current state. But are we content where we are? In this very moment, right now, where you sit, are you content? Are you at peace with God right now? Within this hour, are you content? Within this day, are you content? Are you content with your life? With your marriage? With your job? Because we can be winning in almost all those categories, but not one or two of them. God wants us to be content. He wants us to be at peace. And this is, I think, the most crucial. The most crucial. Because we do not learn peace when we're going to the gallows. That's not where you practice peace. You practice peace when my kids are pushing me to my last rope. That's where I was perfect. It's like, how can kids be like this? I wasn't like this. None of us were. We all were. But we think we were perfect. In our own selves, God wants us to learn to be at peace. So that when my kids are pushing me to my last rope, okay, so I'm upset now. Now what? Oh, yelling at them would help, wouldn't it? That'll solve it. That'll get the point across. No, it won't. And I don't think God has ever done that to us. But how often do we do that to people? And even to ourselves? Not that we should practice the new message of love on ourselves, but we do need to practice the message of love that God does love us. So much so that he sent his son, that he gave us peace. This isn't a salvation message, but this is a peace message. And we need to receive the peace that he offers. We need to say, thank you, Lord, and apply that gift that he's given us and walk in that. So that when we're going through our everyday life, that we are practicing peace. When I'm at my job and I have a situation with a coworker, when I'm in my home and I have a situation with my family, that I'm exercising, that we are exercising peace. So that when that big situation comes, that next graduated thing that we come to, that we don't look and wait for. Don't look and wait for trials. Don't, because you're a Christian, they're going to come. When they come, let them come. Don't look for them. Live your life and enjoy the life God gave you. And then when it happens, it happens. But when we're there, remember who God is, that he has intended peace for us. And when we go through that trial, as difficult as it is, there's peace. Can couple this with grace, that he'll give us grace to go through these things, but he wants peace to rule our hearts today, in this moment. Tomorrow doesn't matter if we have peace. Whatever goes on tomorrow, you may never face it, so why do we worry about it? Remind me of that tomorrow. But in the meantime, let's start practicing this more so, not that you aren't. I don't ever mean that. I need to start practicing this. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. God has peace for us. And in this crazy world we live in, peace is available. In our everyday lives, wherever we find ourselves, in our homes, and whatever triviality that we have going on, God wants peace to rule and reign there. Amen? If the musicians would come. Father, we thank you for your peace. And Lord, this isn't something we can stir up. We know peace is not generated by humanity. Peace is generated by what you left us, Jesus. As you left your Holy Spirit here, and you are the Prince of Peace. So we thank you, and Lord, I lift each one of us up to you right now. And whatever is going on in our life, Holy Spirit, I ask for a greater gift of peace in our lives. That as we are willing to surrender these things to you, that we would truly, with a marker in our lives, be able to say, tonight I experienced you in a new way. That I am willing to allow your peace, that I will lay that down, throw it up, get rid of it, and allow your peace to come and fill that spot that I was holding on to. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your peace. And we ask that you would continue with us, that you would bring this to remembrance, that if we are on your path, we can expect to experience you. And when we go off, may we know your absence of peace so that we don't continue in a wrong way. We thank you for your guiding and your leading. We ask that you'd go with each one of us tonight and throughout this week. Bring this to our remembrance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.